Hello, and thanks for downloading another episode of the Lions Roar podcast. My name's David Kendra, and this week we'll have updates from the Vixens as their season begins, update from the Academy, plus extended highlights from Saturday's meeting with Torquay United, newly managerless Torquay, having sacked their manager on the Thursday before the game came to Nethermoor, both sides looking for their first win of the season. Commentary then here from Nick Keefe and Colin Robertson.
Yeah, guys, he's trying to reclaim some possession here. Hatfield gets it forward. It's up towards Thompson. Intercepted by Klikowski and overhit back to the goalkeeper. And, guys, he managed to win a corner from nothing. That's probably the benefit of Thompson as well, just to harry and hurry defenders. But Klikowski will not be happy with that at all.
No, it's probably the second, maybe the third odd little bit of defending that we've seen by Torquay. Another corner. We've looked quite dangerous from them so far. See if anything comes from this.
Ball into the box now, up towards the edge of the area, and Danny Lowe heads it in. No, it hits the crossbar, but it's finished off by Jake Lawler at the far post. Danny Lowe thought he'd scored, but it came cunningly down back off the crossbar. Looked like it might skew clear. Jake Lawler was there. Geise get the lead. The Lions lead. Geise 1, Torquay 0.
Well, a confusing goal. We thought it had gone in before it had. There's two groups of Geisley players celebrating over there. One group celebrating with Danny Lowe, and then another group nearer to us celebrating with Jake Lawler. I'm pretty sure it didn't go over at the first attempt, and that Jake had to be alert to poach it away for the opening goal.
Yeah, CDP just confirming that. Presumably behind the goal. He says definitely Lawler's goal. Great header by Lowe. Good awareness by Lawler. But, the Lions have the advantage.
Marcus Williams and John Rooney stood over the ball.
Four on the edge of the 18-yard box. A five-man wall. So perhaps they do fancy that there might be a shot.
Look at the boots in this Torquay wall. That looks like a box of highlighter pens. That's every different Dayglo colour.
They're sort of lining up in some sort of theme of the colour as well,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah. Pink, bizarrely. Orange, yellow, green. They're kind of following it through.
Rooney now with a free kick, drills it straight into the wall. Second bite of the cherry, a long range distance shot, and it's saved well by Ryan Clark down to his left. It looked like a poor free kick on the first instance, but John Rooney knew what to do with the second. He drilled it in from distance with power and pace. But guys, he's now in a advanced position on the right flank. Hatfield collects, he gets the ball across, it works its way through towards the edge of the 6-yard box before being cut out, and then Connor Brown takes a shot which cannons back off the upright. Rhys Thompson unable to capitalise on the rebound. Geise win the throw, but it could have been so much more thanks to good work there from Connor Brown. Torquay now coming forward on the left flank. Good movement there with Lathrop and Reid combining well. The ball now crossed more infield, picked up by Higgins. Ryan Higgins goes to the right flank now, and it's Gosling again who runs in towards the 18-yard box, gets through two defenders, gets a shot away just past the upright. And in between both Perver and Williams, Gosling floated, found an angle, a firm left-footed drive, but he couldn't direct it to on target. Corner comes in from the left-hand side, it's whipped in, and it's a goal. An equalising goal. And it's come from the centre-half, Sean McGinty, Manchester United youth in his day. But he's headed home this afternoon to equalise for the visitors. And it's now Geise 1, Torquay United 1.
Yeah, well, the blame game is well underway there in the Geise ranks.
John Paul Pittman manages to get the ball out to the left-hand side, and Reid will try to work his way. He chips the ball into the box as a free header for Ruwari Keating. He managed to get between Williams and Lowe, and they picked out the pass perfectly, and he really should have done better with that. And that was poor defending. Now the ball scooped away by Rooney up towards Thompson. Doesn't find him. Gosling does get the ball now for Torquay, and he's into the Lions half. Plays a lovely ball in through towards the edge of the area, and it's found a second for Torquay as it's found Ruwari Keating inside the penalty area. The Lions have switched off. And a lovely passage of play from Torquay, but Geise have been undone in a short space of time, and from 1-0 up with 2-1 down, Ruwari Keating with the second on 38 minutes, but what looked like a promising first half of football has turned on its head, and it's now Torquay who lead here, Geise 1, Torquay United 2.
Well, it's awful defending from Geisley. You've completely switched off.
Corner comes in up towards the edge of the 6-yard box. It's turned in towards the goal and saved on the line. Reece Thompson right in front of the goalkeeper seemed to chest it towards the goal, but Clark was in the right place at the right time and manages to turn the ball behind and another corner to the Lions. Guys, he still needs to keep this ball moving, but the half-time whistle blows as the Lions had some promising build-up play there. And in the end, it's Geisley who are trailing at the break. A game we cannot see really on balance how we've not at least been level, having hit woodwork, having forced brilliant saves from the goalkeeper, but we've been undone by a passage of play in which Torquay were clinical and the Lions were sloppy. Half-time here, Geisley 1, Torquay United 2.
Well, it was all going so well.
Geisley not able to get out as well as we were, but it's a good one forward now for Reece Thompson to chase down that right-hand side. He's done very well with little support, but he's now got Hatfield in support. Up on the angle of the penalty on the right flank, Hatfield shadowed by two now, going away from goal. Holds on to it, plays it back here to Lawler. Lawler's cross, heavy towards the back post, up towards Kayode Odejaye. He takes a deflection, falls for Rooney in the area free, gets a challenge in on him, and the shot is blocked, and the second one comes in from John Rooney, and again it's deflected behind, but it'll be a Geisley corner.
Vital defending by Torquay there.
Gosling now square here to Reed. Reed gets past Connor Brown, gets a shot, saved by Joe Green. Super save down to his left to palm the ball out for a corner. But Torquay tormenting the Lions defence there. It's Gosling on the edge of the 18-yard box. Now Reed with a chance to get the ball into the area. He does, threads it through. Gosling in towards the penalty spot, takes a shot. Good save from Green. Cleared eventually, not really very convincingly though, by Connor Brown. Still in the edge of the area. Torquay maintain possession. Curled in again by Reed. Up towards Pittman, his header just wide of the mark. And Geisley were unable to make any form of interception as Torquay knocked the ball about there. And Reed's cross towards the back post found John-Paul Pittman. And as he leaned back, tried to make the header, was unable to make the connection he wanted, and it's behind for a goal kick. And another substitution, Nick.
Well, it is Frank Mulhern coming on. It's not the one you and I called, though. It's Reece Thompson going off.
And Connor Brown chases to try and win the ball back. He does, but then he's beaten to it by Keating, who wins possession for Torquay. Plays it into Reed. Reed up against Rob Atkinson. Rob Atkinson goes with the challenge, doesn't make it. And then Reed's shot is deflected wide by Danny Lowe. And it'll be another Torquay corner. But how he looked lightweight there as Reed won the ball. Uncharacteristic of Connor Brown. And there's going to be another Lions substitution as Adam Lockwood is rolling the dice.
Well, I think that might be Hatfield's last involvement in the game because it's Kevin Hurst who's coming on.
Meanwhile, there's some fans down there not really doing themselves any credit, failing to give the ball back. And really, that's very poor. Very poor from those fans behind there. Eventually, there's a new ball brought on. We're going to have some stoppages, aren't we? And now Mulhern is fouled on the halfway line. I think that'll have to be another yellow card, actually.
Where John Rooney's placed it for this long free kick.
Can the Lions pick out something yet? Into the penalty area, over the head of Atkinson, chipped back in there by Perver, onto the edge of the area, and guys have equalised! Kevin Hurst! Torquay didn't defend the ball well enough, and in the end it fell kindly for Kevin Hurst to drill the ball home on the edge of the 6-yard box. It hasn't looked like it was coming, but Geisley have got an equaliser. Geisley 2, Torquay United 2.
And John Rooney's already collected the ball, placed it in the centre circle. Suddenly a rush of adrenaline around and a surge of passion around Nethermoor as the fans start to believe again in this team. Can the team respond and chase down an unlikely winner in the last few minutes of this game? We have looked best from set pieces all game today, Colin. That has been where we've been most productive, and it was another good delivery by John Rooney from the halfway line, just floating it into the right area. Took it well. 2-2, 89th minute.
Hurst again on the edge of the area, takes a shot. It's just been palmed away by the goalkeeper. Guys, he's really asking the questions all of a sudden, and it's from nowhere.
Game on. It just shows what a little bit of belief can do.
The Lions have finally come to life. High ball in the air. Kayode Odejaye flicks it on. Chase on for Hurst. He's up against Higgins. Higgins is way in advance of him to collect the ball, to be fair. and then plays it forward. Connor Brown wins the header, but can't keep it in play. It's going to go out for a throw unless Molyneux can chase back, and does. Wins possession back. And then Green, good foot through the ball from Joe Green, breaks it up to the centre circle, but Torquay win that ball. Danny Lowe now with a good challenge. Purva gets it forward towards Mulhern, inside the half of the Torquay half, but his crossfield ball isn't going to get there. But John Rooney collects, lays it into the left-hand side. Hurst into the box, plays it across field. Great save from the goalkeeper, it's loose. Referee doesn't give a free kick, and it's in. No, it's in the six-yard box. Nobody can get it home. Then eventually there's a claim for a shout for a goal, but the referee says no. The referee says no, but the linesman says yes. No idea, but Geisley have snatched a late, late goal. I have no idea who's put it in the back of the net. It was an unbelievable scramble inside the six-yard box.
Wow.
Utter daylight robbery. But Geisley have grabbed a third. Geisley 3, Torquay 2.
Well, it's hard to describe what we just saw there. Goalkeeper definitely thought he was fouled at the early part of that scramble. He took it in two hands, the cross that came across him, and then somehow it came out of his hands under close attention from multiple players around him. Ball bubbled around in the box. Everybody in the stand went up when it looked like the ball had gone in. Game carried on. Another chance came in maybe to try and get it over the line. At this point, I think the linesman had probably already given a goal. The referee had absolutely no idea and had to trust his assistant down on this side. We'll need to see that back on the highlights to have a clue what exactly happened there. Who knows whether that goal was all legitimate or not. But as it stands, the scoreboard hasn't kept up. But as far as I know, it's Geisley 3, Torquay United 2.
They play it out to the left-hand side. Plenty of space here for Howarth to work into. The former Barrow man goes in field, crosses, cut out by Purva. Not quite cleared well enough, but McGinty's closed down. And listen to that cheer. Full time. You have to feel some sympathy with Torquay after a second half that they dominate and they had chances. But the Lions have snatched victory from defeat with two late, late goals. Kevin Hurst and possibly Marcus Williams in stoppage time. A ball that was cleared off the line or over the line. The assistant on the near side gave it. But what a finale. Geisley 3, Torquay United 2.
Well, honestly, it looked like we were dead and buried in that game. And with 5 or 10 minutes left on the clock, it looked like we had been undone by that spell without any concentration or discipline towards the end of the first half. And we were saying Torquay had had so many chances. Surely the game was theirs. They never put it to bed, though, Tom. And then after we thought maybe the team had got to the point where they needed to give up in the last few minutes, guys had got two chances, almost nowhere, against the run of play, and got themselves all 3 points.
Just incredible, isn't it, really? And that's the turning point of the season already. You know, you talk about how crucial this game was. It really was, you know, just something where we needed to get the points. In the end, we've been able to get that win, and, you know, it just is a marvellous victory for the side. Real heart and commitment on show by everyone, and in the end, you know, just to be able to get that 3 points, get them over the line, you know, it just builds the squad up so much going into that big game against Halifax.
After the match, Colin caught up with Adam, while Tom Feeney spoke to second-half substitute Lee Molyneux.
Adam, I was kind of dreading the interview at the end of this game for a long spell in that second half, but at the end of the day, what a turnaround, an important result, and, you know, what do you put it down to over the course of the 90 minutes?
First of all, I'd like to say, obviously delighted to get off the mark in terms of wins. I think that's about it. In that, I thought we started, you know, the game were a bit topsy-turvy at the start. Then we got a real good foothold in the game and looked comfortable. We talk all the time about this league. If you take your foot off the gas and you'll get punished for correcting a little bit of sloppiness. Whether that's, I don't know. I don't think it's you know, you can really put a thing on it where it's, you say it's tired legs, or I don't buy that at all. And I saw some things, like I said, that really, really disappointed me. and to be honest, the whole match disappointed me, to be honest, really, really badly. Like I said, having said that, character, attitude, which I've said from day one, we've got that in abundance. I'd just like us to be a bit more cleverer and smarter. And when the tide turns in games, can we manage it better and can we stem the flow at times? And I thought we were very, very poor at that today, really poor. Individual mistakes again, which disappoint me. People have to now start taking ownership of that and not making them, because it breeds, it goes across the team. And I've always sort of said in football, the good players, they make one mistake, somebody else doesn't make a second. And I thought at times we're making a mistake and somebody else would make a mistake after, and that can't happen. As you know, at this level you get punished. And I thought we looked really dangerous from set pieces, which is a big positive. I thought we haven't been. We've worked hard on that, and we have to build on that and take positives out of the game in that sense. But also we have to really, really knuckle down and stop the things that has disappointed us as a group.
Such a disappointing half-time scoreline after dominating for the first set of periods, and then just a period of 2 minutes and suddenly we're 2-1 behind. It must have been a tough team talk at the break.
That happens in football. This is what I say to that, and I thought it affected us too much. And yeah, it does. You get low blows when you're in. And I thought, to be honest, we deserved that, to concede two goals. And that's where I'm looking for some of the lads to stem that and stop it on the field of play, make a decision right at the right time. And we didn't, and like I say, it cost us. Maybe it's a learning curve for us as a group, that if you do that and you take, not take your foot off your gas, I don't think they took the foot off the gas, I think it was just decision making at the wrong times. And whether that's through, we thought we were in control of the game, and I just think at this level, you can, if you're not ruthless, you're never in control of a game unless you make sure you are. And we didn't do that very well at all today.
And the biggest mystery of the game for us all is who scored the last goal. It was a right old scramble, and it was a mystery to us of us in the press box.
It matters that it's gone in, but there were a couple of occasions they cleared off the line, and then I think keeper blocked, somebody else blocked. But there's a thing of the group that we didn't get disappointed in that occasion. We carried on going, and eventually, I don't know. I don't know whether it's an own goal or one of our lads scores. I'm sure one of our lads will claim it. But it, that there, where you keep going at it. It could have quite easily, the first one and second one, you get too disappointed, and then sort of you have a bit of a sigh, oh, it's not gone in. But we stuck to it and made sure it went over the line, and obviously to get the first 3 points, and we've picked other points up. It took us a long time last year to do so, and hopefully we can build on that.
And you know, finally it's a big turnaround in that last few minutes. What do you hope this means to us? Do you see this as a stepping stone, an opportunity for us to really build and grow on this?
I hope we learn from it, mainly. Learn as a group massively from it, because I don't think we'll sort of get away with that at times. But on the other hand, you can take a lot of positives out. It depends on how you look at it. One thing that you have to do in football, at all levels, you have to keep a level head and look at things logically. I know that changing there's good ability. At times, we're not going to play well. When we don't play well, I thought early on, I thought we played quite well and we were in total control. And then it's about, like I say, can we take more control and can we be ruthless in those situations? So yeah, we'll take a lot of learning from it.
Tom Feeney with Lee Molyneux after a 3-2 win here at Nevermore Park against Torquay United. Lee, first of all, the big question, did you get that goal right at the end of the match?
I think I got a touch on it, but I think it hit about four or five lads. So there's a couple in there claiming it, Big K, Frank, it's down as an own goal, I think, on the Sky Sports app, so who knows.
but for yourself, you're going to climb it?
Yeah, always. If they want to give me it, I'll take it all day.
And just in terms of the performance and the result, just how big a result is this to get that first win of the season under the belt?
Yeah, it's massive. We're unbeaten at home now, you know. Last week, down at Aldershot, massive disappointment. We let ourselves down, the fans down. And, you know, it's a great reaction on Tuesday. And again today, a win. We've said in the changing room there that it wasn't our best performance, but it's character and it'll stand us in good stead for the season to come, I'm sure. And if we can put a performance with that result, then we'll be okay.
And in terms of that reaction after Aldershot, 4 points from them two games, it don't get much better than that, does it, really?
Yeah, massive. And it's a tough start. We've played some good teams, but the league's tough as well. There's no easy games, but, you know, you look at the fixed start of the season, you know, after Aldershot, you've got Tranmere and Torquay, and to take 4 points from that, like you said, after last week, it's good. We can go into next week now, where after a good full week of training, rest and recoup again now and try and get a result at Halifax.
And for yourself, just how much have you enjoyed it so far at Guiseley?
Yeah, I have. You know, the lads, from the first day, the lads have been very welcoming. You know, I'm enjoying it here. I was out with illness on Tuesday, and you know I've come back into the squad today, and hopefully I can force my back on the side now and start putting some performances and getting some goals for the team.
And just finally, Halifax, BT Sport, big Yorkshire derby at the Shay. You must be looking forward to it.
Yeah, massive game, and it should be a good turnout. Like you said, derbies, everyone will be up for it, and after 4 points this week, we're looking on getting another result there next week.
So the Lions now sit in 17th place in the Vanarama National League with 5 points from their first five games. It could have been a lot worse, it could have been a little bit better. But still, it's a fairly solid start to a season and certainly five more points than we had at this time last year. First win of the season off the mark as well. Next up then, it's a busy August bank holiday weekend, starting on Saturday the 26th of August as we go to the Shay for the first West Yorkshire derby of the season. That one's live on BT Sport. It's a 12:30 kickoff there. You can still get tickets for that and you can still travel to the Shay with the Guiseley AFC Supporters Club. The coach will leave Nethermore at 11 a.m. It's £10 if you're a member and £13 if you're not. And to book your seat, please call Paul on 07518 445 861. That's 07518 445 861. The Lions then return to Nethermore on Monday the 28th of August, Bank Holiday Monday, to face Hartlepool United, new members of the Vanarama National League. They've had a pretty tough start to the season. That will be a 3 p.m. kickoff, and that's at Nethermore, and we hope to see as many of you as possible there. You can get your tickets through eventbrite.com if you search for Guiseley, or there will be tickets available on the door. Guiseley Vixens started the season not quite how they would have hoped, narrowly losing by a goal to nil away to Nottingham Forest. The Vixens travelled with a depleted squad, 11 first-team players predominantly out through injury. They did, however, give the debuts to 8 players who gave a good accord of themselves throughout a heated game. Guiseley started the game brightly, attacking with intent on many occasions, with numerous shots finding themselves on target but missing the finishing touch. Goalkeeper Bethan Davis made herself big in the first 5 minutes, saving from Hazana Parnell's shot from close distance, but Parnell did manage to squeeze one past Davis minutes later, beating her at the near post after finding herself in space on the edge of the box. The best chance for Guiseley came on the verge of half-time when Naomi Chadwick turned her marker, but her shot went narrowly over the bar. An early chance in the second half saw Debs Hastings through on goal, but Forrest went unpunished. A defender recovered well to put the ball out for a corner. Guiseley went all out attack in the final 10 with defender Alana Fuller playing an attacking role, and it was her sweetly struck half volley which was well held by Forest keeper Rebecca Thomas late on in the game. But it finished Nottingham Forest 1, Guiseley Vixens 0. Their next league fixture is against Huddersfield Town Ladies on Sunday, with the Vixens playing the game at Huddersfield's Staflex Arena. After the match, Oliver Coulthas caught up with Glenn Preston and Emily Scott.
I'm here with manager Glenn Preston after the 1-0 loss away to Nottingham Forest. First of all, it's the first game in the division above. How do you think it went?
Well, obviously it's not the perfect start for us. It's not the result we would have wanted, but it's, you know what, we're not down about it. We've played pretty well today. We've defended superb. We've battled to the end. We created a couple of openings where we probably should have scored. And I think, given the circumstances today, I think we're pretty pleased with our performance. We were just unlucky. We just didn't quite have enough at the end to get the result that we perhaps deserved. I think a draw would have been a very valid point. I think in terms of the game itself, I think first half, we were the side trying to play football. We're having to deal with quite a lot of balls in over the top. The second half, first 15 minutes was all us. Really looked like we were going to equalise. We've rode out a 10-15 minute spell where Forest came back into it. But I think towards the end we also got back on top. And like I said, I think a draw would have been a fair result overall.
There were 8 debutants named in the team and 2 of the starting 11, actually development team players. How do you think they stepped up?
Yeah, a couple of them have stepped up today. They've been absolutely brilliant. Ebony and Kirsty have been thrown into it really. And again, it's about circumstance because we've got 11 players missing today. I'd challenge anyone to have 11 players missing in the Premier League and still be as competitive as what we were today. And the youngsters that have come in have been absolutely brilliant, and even the ones that have come off the bench, you know, they've really chipped in and put a good shift in for the team.
There were a lot of controversial decisions, especially in the first half. Shirt pulling here, bad tackles there. What do you make of them?
It was a good, aggressive, competitive game in some respects, but I think you're right. I think there's a few fairly key decisions that sort of perhaps have not gone our way, gone against us. We're not going to, in standard fashion, we're not going to grumble too much about the referee, because I think it doesn't hide the fact that we could have done more ourselves to get a result. But yeah, you know what, you're going to get days like this where you don't get every decision from a referee.
I'm with club captain Emily Scott after the 1-0 loss away at Nottingham Forest. Do you think the scoreline was harsh?
I think so. I think when we watched that game back, I think we'll see we had our chances. I think the goal came from our own making, but we were trying to play the right way. It's one of them where they've had one chance and took it, and we've been on top for quite a lot of that game, and it's just frustrating more than anything. But it's first game of the season, and we know there's a long way to go, so we're not going to be disappointed by it. We're just going to pick ourselves up and get back to training this week and get ready for next weekend.
Lessons learned for next week?
Yeah, I think so. But we'll never shy away from trying to play the way we want to play. I think we know what that looks like, and we've had a lot of joy with it today. I think when anyone sees the results, they'll wonder how it was 1-0 to Forest and how we've not come away with anything today. But there's a lot to be confident about. There's a lot to be proud of. And I think if you look defensively, everyone put their bodies on the line for today. And I think if we can carry that through, we're in for a good season.
One or two development players stepping up to the plate today. How do you think they got on?
I think it shows the strength of the club. I think it shows where we're trying to get to. They came into the squad today and I think they gave a really good account of themselves. Yeah, you know, Ebony, Kirsty stepping into the first 11 today and they didn't look out of place. I think it shows where the club's trying to go to, and like I say, it's disappointing because we're on the losing side today, but I think they can look back on the performance, as can everybody else, and think, you know, we could have got something out of today.
Guiseley Academy are delighted to announce that their Centre of Excellence teams from under 13s to under 17s will be playing their games at West Riding County FA on Fleet Lane. The newly laid 3G pitch, possibly the best in West Yorkshire, and the seated stand will allow certain games to be filmed and analysed via a digital analysis programme. The under 16s and 17s will play their JPL fixtures at the Fleet Lane ground, whilst our under 13s, 14s and 15s will play friendlies against a mix of semi-pro and pro academies. As the second largest club in the city, the aim is to attract the best young players in the city and the surrounding area to play for the Young Lions and progress these players onto our full-time academy at 16 to 18 years. For more information, follow Guiseley AFC Academy on Facebook, or you can go to our main website, which is guiseleyafc.co.uk. lionsroar.co.uk. And that'll about do it for another episode of the Lions Roar podcast. Thanks very much for downloading. We'll be back next Friday with highlights from both the Halifax and Hartlepool games. We'd like to see as many of you as possible there at the Shea, and certainly if you're at a loose end on August Bank Holiday, come on down to Nethermore. It's going to be a fascinating game against prestigious opponents in Hartlepool United. Certainly a great game in prospect. We hope to see you there. As I say, we'll be back next Friday with another Lions Roar podcast. Thanks for now. I've been David Kendra. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
Perver out to the edge of the area, and guys, have equalised! Kevin Hurst! And it's in! No, it's in the 6-yard box. Nobody can get it home. And eventually, there's a claim for a shout for a goal, but the referee says no. The referee says no, but the linesman says yes! Guyvie have snatched a late goal!
Wow!
Utter daylight robbery!